help those who are weaker. You found it, the LifeSpring one-year Bible Rewind, and coming to you from Riverside, California, and podcasting since 2004, I'm your OG Godcaster, Steve Webb. This is the podcast that comes to you every day, and we're reading the entire Bible together in 1 year. I'm so glad you're here. Welcome. The website is lifespringmedia.com. Today is Letter Writing Day. It's a great time to remind someone that you still know cursive. And this is Epistle Sunday. We'll read Romans 15 and 16. Let's begin. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that you would be with us today as we read. Teach us, Lord. Open our hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans chapter 15. We who are strong in faith should help the weak with their weaknesses and not please only ourselves. Let each of us please our neighbors for their good, to help them be stronger in faith. Even Christ did not live to please himself. It was as the scripture said, "When people insult you, it hurts me." Everything that was written in the past was written to teach us. The scriptures give us patience and encouragement so that we can have hope. May the patience and encouragement that come from God allow you to live in harmony with each other the way Christ Jesus wants. Then you will all be joined together, and you will give glory to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ accepted you, so you should accept each other, which will bring glory to God. I tell you that Christ became a servant of the Jews to show that God's promises to the Jewish ancestors are true. And he also did this so that those who are not Jews could give glory to God for the mercy he gives to them. It is written in the scriptures, "So I will praise you among the non-Jewish people. I will sing praises to your name." The scripture also says, "Be happy, you who are not Jews, together with his people." Again, the scripture says, "All you who are not Jews, praise the Lord. All you people, sing praises to him." And Isaiah says, "A new king will come to the family of Jesse. He will come to rule over the non-Jewish people, and they will have hope because of him." I pray that the God who gives hope will fill you with much joy and peace while you trust in him. Then your hope will overflow by the power of the Holy Spirit. My brothers and sisters, I'm sure that you are full of goodness. I know that you have all the knowledge you need and that you are able to teach each other. But I have written to you very openly about some things I wanted you to remember. I did this because God gave me this special gift, to be a minister of Christ Jesus to those who are not Jews. I served God by teaching his good news so that the non-Jewish people could be an offering that God would accept, an offering made holy by the Holy Spirit. So I am proud of what I have done for God in Christ Jesus. I will not talk about anything except what Christ has done through me in leading those who are not Jews to obey God. They have obeyed God because of what I have said and done, because of the power of miracles and the great things they saw, and because of the power of the Holy Spirit. I preached the good news from Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum, and so I have finished that part of my work. I always want to preach the good news in places where people have never heard of Christ, because I do not want to build on the work someone else has already started. But it is written in the scriptures, "Those who were not told about him will see, and those who have not heard about him will understand." This is the reason I was stopped many times from coming to you. Now I have finished my work here. Since for many years I have wanted to come to you, I hope to visit you on my way to Spain. After I enjoy being with you for a while, I hope you can help me on my trip. Now I am going to Jerusalem to help God's people. The believers in Macedonia and southern Greece were happy to give their money to help the poor among God's people at Jerusalem. They were happy to do this, and really they owe it to them. Those who are not Jews have shared in the Jews' spiritual blessings, so they should use their material possessions to help the Jews. After I am sure the poor in Jerusalem get the money that has been given for them, I will leave for Spain and stop and visit you. I know that when I come to you, I will bring Christ's full blessing. Brothers and sisters, I beg you to help me in my work by praying to God for me. Do this because of our Lord Jesus and the love that the Holy Spirit gives us. Pray that I will be saved from the non-believers in Judea, and that this trip I bring to Jerusalem will please God's people there. Then, if God wants me to, I will come to you with joy, and together you and I will have a time of rest. The God who gives peace be with you all. Amen. Romans chapter 16. I recommend to you our sister Phoebe, who was a helper in the church of Cenchrea. I ask you to accept her in the Lord in the way God's people should. Help her with anything she needs, because she has helped me and many other people also. Give my greetings to Priscilla and Aquila, who work together with me in Christ Jesus and who has risked their own lives to save my life. I'm thankful to them, and all the non-Jewish churches are thankful as well. Also, greet for me the church that meets at their house. Greetings to my dear friend Epaphras, who was the first person in Asia to follow Christ. Greetings to Mary, who worked very hard for you. Greetings to Andronicus and Junia, my relatives who were in prison with me. They are very important apostles. They were believers in Christ Jesus before I was. Greetings to Ampliatus, my dear friend in the Lord. Greetings to Urbanus, a worker together with me for Christ. And greetings to my dear friend Stachys. Greetings to Apelles, who was tested and proved that he truly loves Christ. Greetings to all those who are in the family of Aristobulus. Greetings to Herodian, my fellow citizen. Greetings to all those in the family of Narcissus who belong to the Lord. Greetings to Tryphena and Tryphosa, women who work very hard for the Lord. Greetings to my dear friend Persis, who also has worked very hard for the Lord. Greetings to Rufus, who is a special person in the Lord, and to his mother, who has been like a mother to me also. Greetings to Asyncratus, Phlegon, Hermes, Patrobus, Hermas, and all the brothers and sisters who are with them. Greetings to Philologus and Julius, Nereus and his sister, and Olympus, and to all God's people with them. Greet each other with a holy kiss. All of Christ's churches send greetings to you. Brothers and sisters, I ask you to look out for those who cause people to be against each other and who upset other people's faith. They are against the true teaching you learned, so stay away from them. Such people are not serving our Lord Christ, but are only doing what pleases themselves. They use fancy talk and fine words to fool the minds of those who do not know about evil. All the believers have heard that you obey, so I am very happy because of you. But I want you to be wise in what is good and innocent in what is evil. The God who brings peace will soon defeat Satan and give you power over him. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. Timothy, a worker together with me, sends greetings, as well as Lucius, Jason, and Sosipater, my relatives. I am Tertius, and I am writing this letter from Paul. I send greetings to you in the Lord. Gaius is letting me and the whole church here use his home. He also sends greetings to you, as do Erastus, the city treasurer, and our brother Quartus. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with all of you. Amen. Glory to God who can make you strong in faith by the good news that I tell people and by the message about Jesus Christ. The message about Christ is the secret that was hidden for long ages past but is now made known. It has been made clear through the writings of the prophets. And by the command of the eternal God, it is made known to all nations that they might believe and obey. To the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Well, beloved, Paul wraps up his letter to the Romans by encouraging both Jewish believers and non-Jewish believers to be in harmony. And he told those who were strong in the faith to help those who were weaker. Since we are all part of Christ's body, we are one body. A few years ago, I had an accident on my motorcycle, and I ended up with a broken left ankle and torn meniscus in the knee. And guess what? My whole body was affected by those injuries. I was basically laid up for about 3 months. Sure, I could get around with crutches, but I really couldn't do anything constructive. Well, once I got out of my cast, once I got a little bit of mobility, I wore one of those big boots. You've seen them. But there was still some pain and stiffness and overall weakness because of having been laid up. I limped, which was my body doing what it could to ease the pain and make up for the stiffness. It was trying to help the ankle so that it could recover, so it could gain strength. The parts of my body that were strong were trying to help the weaker part. This is what Paul told the Roman church they should do. Those strong in the faith should help the weaker members, encourage them. Help them through times of weakness. Lift them up. Love them. Beloved, Don't think of yourself as something special if your faith is strong or if you've been a believer for a long time. Consider that you have a responsibility to encourage others who are not as far along as you are. I'd love to hear what you think. Agree? Disagree? What are your thoughts? You have a question? Send them to me at steve@lifespringmedia.com or go to comment.lifespringmedia.com, put your comments there, or comment on the show notes page for this episode. I want to hear from you, and I'll share some of your comments. Tomorrow, our reading is Genesis 28 through 31. On this date in church history, November 7th. Today, we're going to look at three events from December 7th that stretch from the early Celtic world to World War II to a quiet meeting between two of the most influential Christian voices of the last century. We begin in the year 521 with the birth of Columba, one of the great figures of Celtic Christianity. He was born into a noble Irish family, and he had access to scripture, literacy, and monastic training from boyhood. After a period of personal conflict and repentance, Columba sailed with 12 companions to the island of Iona, where he founded the abbey that became one of the most important missionary centers in Europe. From Iona, monks carried the gospel into Scotland and northern England, copying scriptures, planting churches, and shaping a distinct, vibrant Christian culture. Columba's story reminds us how God can take a turbulent young man and turn him into a missionary whose influence lasts for centuries. And next is December 7th, 1941, a day which will live in infamy, the day of the attack on Pearl Harbor. While the tragedy marked America's entry into World War II, it also sparked one of the most significant expansions of Christian ministry in military history. Thousands of pastors, priests, and chaplains volunteered or were commissioned to serve with troops, preaching in tents, on battleships, and in field hospitals, and sometimes under fire. Their ministry brought comfort, scripture, counseling, and the gospel to millions of servicemen and women around the world. Wartime chaplaincy would never be the same. The model developed after Pearl Harbor still shapes how spiritual care is offered in the armed services today. And then finally, on December 7th, 1962, Billy Graham visited C.S. Lewis in Oxford. The meeting was brief and quiet, two men who served the same gospel in very different ways. Graham was the evangelist with stadiums and invitations. Lewis was the professor whose books gave faith intellectual and imaginative depth. Graham later described Lewis as a warm, gracious, and surprisingly humble man. Their conversation symbolized something beautiful, that the Lord uses both the preacher and the apologist, the microphone and the pen, to call people to Christ. Prayer requests. Just as I was putting this episode to bed, Bill sent in a prayer request. He says, "Construction was slow this last month, so I would just like to pray that work picks up so I can feed the family for the holidays." Well, Bill, thank you for sending that in, and buddy, I know exactly how you feel. I grew up in a construction family, and I was in construction myself in my young adult years, so I know what you're talking about there. We'll definitely lift you up in prayer. Also, the lovely Lady Leanne's appointment with the endocrinologist is this coming Tuesday, so I would appreciate it if you guys would pray for her as well. All right, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you and are so thankful that you are our God. We thank you that you are holy, righteous, and merciful. We thank you that you are our shield, our provider, our comfort, our refuge, our strength, and so much more. And Father, right now, we just lift up Bill to you, Lord, and ask you to be his provider. We ask you, Lord, to open up the storehouse and, Father, provide work for him so that he can have a good holiday season with his family and not have to worry about how to pay the bills. Father, you're not limited by anything, let alone slow work or anything else, Father. So we just pray that you would supply. Lord, we pray for Leanne's appointment with a doctor this coming week. We pray that you would be present and that your will is done. My request is that this whole thing will be settled with a miracle, that when they do more tests, they'll find a perfectly healthy thyroid. But you know the best way, and your will is perfect. You've shown that in our lives over and over and over again. So we really just lay this in your hands, knowing that there is no better place to be.
And Father, right now I lift up the LifeSpring family to you, and I ask that you bless them. You know each of us, every detail. You know the challenges we face, the victories and the heartbreaks, and I pray that you would meet us where we are and then bring us to where you want us to be. Convict us when we need it and encourage us when we show progress. You are the perfect Father, and we are so glad that we are yours. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Remember, when you send in your prayer requests and your praises, I will pray for you in my daily private prayer time, and I'll pray for you on the show so that we can all agree together as we take our requests to God.
LifeSpring Family Hotline, 951-732-8511.
Tell someone about the show. The only effective way to make the world a better place is to change people's hearts, and that starts with God's Word. That's what the LifeSpring One-Year Bible is really all about. Until tomorrow, may God bless you richly. Thank you for being here. Thanks for inviting me to be a part of your day. My name is Steve Webb. Bye.
All the programs in the LifeSpring Media family are made possible by the generous gifts of people like you.
The LifeSpring One-Year Bible Rewind is a LifeSpring Media production hosted by Steve Webb, the OG Godcaster since 2004.